WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two more campuses within the University of Wisconsin system are exploring furloughs heading into the new school year. UW-Platteville and UW-Parkside announced to staff on Monday that their budget shortfalls may require the measure. UW-Oshkosh announced earlier this month that its campus would be furloughing hundreds of employees. Schools throughout the UW system have budget shortfalls of millions of dollars. The Republican-led legislature cut the system's budget by about $32 million over the next 2 years. Democratic Governor Tony Evers had proposed increasing the budget by more than $300 million. City and state leaders say they're outraged after an especially violent weekend in Milwaukee. Terry Bell reports.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson says the gun violence last weekend is entirely unacceptable. He's calling on the state legislature to take another look at gun laws. Governor Evers says gun violence is a public health crisis. Numbers vary, but as many as 24 people were shot and 4 people killed in 15 separate shootings from Friday night through late Sunday. Those include 2 mass shootings on Milwaukee's south side. 9 people were injured in one case and 4 people were injured in another. One of the 4 people killed was a 17-year-old girl. She's the 17th child to die by homicide in Milwaukee this year. Some arrests have been made. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The leader of the National Republican Party says she considers Wednesday night's debate in Milwaukee the start of the general election, not just the Republican primary.
It's not often that you get the entire American public looking at your message, looking at your candidates, and having an opportunity to put forth your policies that will right the ship of this country.
RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. 8 Republican candidates have qualified to be on tomorrow night's debate stage. Former President Donald Trump says he won't be in Milwaukee for Wednesday night's debate. Hot weather means conditions are ripe for pavement buckling. Wisconsin transportation officials have some safety tips. Nate Wegehout with more.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is advising drivers to be alert and be extra careful. Buckling happens when pavement expands in hot weather. That causes it to buckle or blow up. It's hard to predict when it will happen. The DOT has some advice. Check the 511 travel information system before you leave home. If traffic slows down suddenly, that's a sign the pavement ahead may have buckled. The DOT also reminds drivers to slow down and move over for road repair workers. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Childcare for people in the state costs more than tuition at some Wisconsin colleges. The cost of daycare has some families in financial crisis. All over the state, costs far exceed the federal guidelines, which say childcare should only cost 7% of household income. The U.S. Department of Labor says the average Northeast Wisconsin family spends 10 to 12% of their income to provide childcare for an infant. That's just for one child. A recent study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum reports that in Milwaukee County, the average childcare cost for a 4-year-old is $12,142 a year. For an infant, it's $16,236 a year. That's over $28,000 a year for 2 kids. In his most recent budget, Governor Tony Evers set aside $340 million to assist with childcare programs. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Packers training camp winding down. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers entering their final week of training camp. Practices today and tomorrow open to the public. On Saturday, Green Bay hosts Seattle in the final preseason game. Yesterday, the Packers added 2 former defensive players from the XFL, linebacker Marvin Pierre and defensive back Elijah Hamilton. Tight end Ty Davis with a torn ACL placed on injured reserve. The leading rusher in the NFL preseason is in Green Bay, number 31 running back Emmanuel Wilson, averaging over 8 yards per carry. Against the Patriots, he broke free for a first down.
When I saw the hole open and the defender was right there, I really stopped his feet, and then I just bounced it outside. It was just hit the corner and then turned on my speed.
Matt LaFleur on Wilson.
He ran with power, ran through some arm tackles, ran with low pad level. He's gotten a taste of what it's like to be an every down back. There were moments where I could tell he was pretty gassed. So I think that's one thing that he can continue to improve upon is just conditioning.
Former Badgers running back Jonathan Taylor has been given permission to be traded out of Indianapolis, but the Colts say they'll want a first-round pick in return. On Monday Night Football, the Washington Commanders beat the Ravens 29-28 with a last-minute field goal. That snapped Baltimore's 24-game winning streak in the preseason, dating back 7 years, an NFL record. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh.
It's one of these things you look at and you go, wow, how did that happen? You know, how did something like that take place? It's pretty remarkable. What are the odds to play this game and to fight like that? And the men who played for the Ravens now and the men who played for the Ravens all those other years. I'm really very proud.
College football, Michigan's Jim Harbaugh will serve a 3-game suspension imposed by the university for recruitment violations. The Wisconsin Badgers' new head coach, Luke Fickell, says with classes not starting in Madison until September 6th, his players have more time to prepare for the football season.
So we've got a chance this next week to give them a day here to relax a little bit, but then be able to use this next week where we can still kind of be in some camp mode.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, how you big
doing? Party, man.
Yeah,
brother,
like
solid. Right on.
What's up,
hey,
man? What's your name?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey,
what's up?
Hey,
what's up?
Hey,
good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Chief Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I just, you know, want to say I'm probably getting ready to enter into the busiest time that I probably have ever entered into over the next several months in commitments of doing things in our community. And I'm anybody who knows me knows I'm always busy, and rarely, if ever, am I not doing something in the community. But the next several months are going to be really filled almost daily with activities. Volunteer activities in my community. I'm honored. I always say I have the best job in the world, that I get a chance to be around people and people who need help and get a chance to do those things. And it's going to begin after I get off today. I'm going to have a pleasure and an honor to speak to almost 200 homeless people. And with McCannon Brown's Homeless Sanctuary. And I've known Sister Brown for years. I remember doing a live remote at her building. And you would not believe this facility. And I remember doing this live remote in this building that she was given or purchased, man, and the building is right in one of the most difficult parts of the city of Milwaukee. And she has, in not in my words, but in the words of Carol Meekins, a reporter for Channel 4, Sister McCannon Brown is a powerful advocate for the poor. She's been called the Mother Teresa of Milwaukee. She observes, we have a society that we create ostracism. We stigmatize people for being homeless, even though homelessness can happen to anyone. Twice a week, about 150 people get in line here at the McCannon Brown Homeless Sanctuary. They get enough food for a week. It's a food desert, serious food desert, warns Brown. Sister McCannon admits she did not want her agency named after her. You know, I don't ever want to be perceived as doing this for self-glorification. I don't know. But I understand why they choose to do that. I have these conversations with God about that. We have a fun way of saying it. It's not the me, but we. But this facility is an unbelievable heaven on earth. There's so many people who are forgotten, who are dismissed, who, according to this society that we live in, lack value because they don't have things. I love being around Sister McCannon Brown and around her homeless sanctuary, and am honored beyond words that I will have an opportunity this morning to address so many people who have basically given up on life. And what McCannon Brown does is gives them a reason to keep going. These are people we don't see, and in many instances we choose to not see them, but they're human beings just the same. So as you know, I'm going to have that opportunity this morning. I'm really excited about it. I couldn't sleep because, you know, these are human beings who are human beings, and somehow along the way in the wealthiest nation on earth, we have forgotten that they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. In this nation, we treat animals better than we treat human beings. And so I'm excited about that. And I'll tell you, tomorrow, Calvin, I'm going to be doing the show from No Studios, the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, is going to be basically doing their own thing. National Democrats will be here, as you know, the Republicans will have their convention, their debate. National Democrats will be in this city, and they're going to be organized. And so I'm honored that I'm going to be doing my show live from No Studios tomorrow morning, and follow that up from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Interviewing many national Democrats who will be in town, sending a message that, okay, so Republicans are having their debate, but don't forget about us. So I'm excited again about having the opportunity to do that. You know, if I wasn't here at Civic Media and at WAUK 540 AM WAUK, you know, these opportunities wouldn't be coming to me. And so I'm excited about that and thankful for having the opportunity. At 10:45 this morning, 9:45, we're going to be joined by the National Democratic Chair, Mr. Jamie Harrison, Chair of the National Democratic Party. And we will be discussing some things as, again, the Republicans prepare for their debate on tomorrow. I want to talk now, man, about something that's near and dear to my heart. Well, before we do that, let me go here. Once again, I don't know what it is or why, but Republicans on the state level have come up with another cockamamie idea that is just not necessary. But they somehow think that these things make sense. So Wisconsin Republicans propose eliminating work permits for 14 and 15-year-olds. So Calvin, when you were young and you went to work, you needed a work permit, right?
Yeah, I didn't get my first job until I was 16 when I had a car, and I think I still had to get a work permit.
Yeah, you had to get a work permit. You know, all of us as children, you know, had to get work permits. And there was a reason that work permits were created. It was to protect children. And all of these decades that have gone by, it's been okay. It's not been a problem. And work permits have always been to protect children. So who in their right mind would think that it makes sense to do away with work permits? And why? And yet, once again, state Republicans have come up with this crazy idea that children ages 14 and 15 years old would no longer need a work permit or parental permission to get a job under a bill that Republican lawmakers released this past Friday. The proposal comes amid a wider push by state lawmakers to roll back child labor laws. And despite the efforts of federal investigators to crack down on the surge in child labor violations nationally, they're trying to enforce these laws in the state of Wisconsin. A couple of ridiculous conservatives have decided that we don't need those things. Under current law, 14, 15-year-olds in Wisconsin are prohibited from working most jobs unless they have permission from a parent or guardian and have verified their age with the State Department of Workforce Development. The department can revoke youth work permits at any time if it believes the child's safety is being threatened. Why would you be opposed to that? Calvin, would you be opposed to something that protects children from, you know, predatory business people?
No, this seems pretty basic to me.
It should be basic, but not to Senator Corey Tomczak and Representative Clint Moses and Amy Bensfield, the Republicans sponsoring the bill, called youth work permits needless administrative barriers that slow down the hiring process. Oh, okay. So you clearly don't care about the safety of children. You are more focused on the hiring process. So why not hire 10-year-olds? You know, well, for heaven's sakes, why not hire 8-year-olds? If all you are concerned about is making sure that there are enough people working to make sure that businesses continue to make profits, the health of children be damned, then we move forward with this another crazy idea. Again, emanating from the state of Wisconsin, nowhere else in the nation is anybody coming up with as crazy an idea as what we have people coming up with here in Wisconsin. It's important that young people have the opportunity to work without having to endure excessive government regulations. What? So you're more concerned about government regulations, which are there to protect the safety and well-being of children? You know, how stupid can you be? But somebody elected these people, somebody voted for these people, and somebody thought that these people somehow